Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on the air once again today as we face the issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're going to have a good show today. I believe that is one that should be interesting, should be one that's educational and challenging to us all. But may I say to us, first of all, when we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not a matter of ideological philosophy, not a matter of some debate by either the Democrats or the Republicans, but it's based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so the book that we go by as our guidebook for any issue that we face is, what does the Word of God say and how should we respond? And ladies and gentlemen, after a brief monologue, we're going to have as our guest today John Rutherford, which is the 4th District Congressman from the U.S. House. And I'll be enjoying our dialogue and discussion with him in just a moment. But first of all, let me remind us, our nation and our state continues to be in a state of mourning, sadness, shock over the carnage that took place in Parkland, Florida High School. We must not allow, however, the loud, noxious noise of the socialist, leftist, fake news agenda to deflect our attention away from the real issue and the potential solution for the future protection of our schools. I watched with some horror a few minutes of a CNN broadcast last evening, and they had Marco Rubio, Bill Nelson, and the representative from the NRA there. And they allowed some students to stand, and you would have thought that they were questioned from the students, only to find out in early morning news that the questions that the students were asking were questions that were devised, developed, and promulgated by CNN. I find it wicked smart from the demonic standpoint of the socialist agenda to make it seem as though the youth are rising up and asking questions that the youth have not asked there in Parkland, Florida. So why is it that most of the shootings that occur, why are the shootings in America, why are so many of them occurring in churches and schools? May I remind us, the common denominator of both is that both of these areas, both of these venues, churches and schools, are generally speaking gun-free zones, what I call sitting ducks. And I used as an illustration the other day, you don't see the shooters rushing into police headquarters and shooting because they know they're armed. I find it a little bizarre that the socialist left fake news agenda of our country want to call for extreme vetting when it comes to gun ownership. But they're not concerned about extreme vetting when it comes to voters' rights and immigration laws. But yet when it comes to Second Right Amendment, they're calling for what they call extreme vetting. I find it sad that in Chicago and Detroit and Baltimore and other large democratically controlled cities where the Democrats have controlled some 40 or 50 years, thousands of black lives are taken every year in the uncontrolled by the uncontrolled gangs on the streets. And yet there's silence about those issues taking place. Where are the liberals' concerns when it comes to that death on a massive scale? So what are the real problems? What is it that causes someone like Nicholas Cruz to go in and shoot 17 people and injure 12 or 15 others in Parkland, Florida? As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we have loud voices on the left that are saying we need to ban guns. We need to ban automatic weapons. We need to ban bump stocks. We need to have a more intensive background check. Everyone needs to report seeing something. I've heard this mantra, if you see something, say something. Ladies and gentlemen, they've practiced that for 75 years in Russia, As a result of it, Russian citizens won't even talk with each other. They're afraid they might make a movement or a statement or say something that will cause them to be reported and the Gestapo come and handcuff them and lock them up. I'm appalled by such a movement and a statement. If you see something, say something. Then there's the major thing that's concerning me, and we'll talk about in a moment, is that which is called the mentally ill. Who's to call who crazy? I understand that there is a common denominator with some of these that have done the shootings, that there's a balance problem. But who's made the decision that they're, quote, mentally ill? Have they been evaluated by a psychiatrist? Have they been declared mentally ill? Have they been evaluated by a mental competent physician that says that? In most cases, the answer would be no. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to discuss this today. We have as our guest today on Let's Face the Issues, U.S. Representative John Rutherford. Congressman Rutherford, thank you and welcome to Let's Face the Issues broadcast today.
Hey, Pastor Youngblood, good to be with you.
It's a delight to have you, brother. I'm thankful, and I want our folks to hear this very well. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that we have representatives like John Rutherford in the House in Washington that loves the Lord and is willing to take a stand for biblical truth. And sometimes you might get demeaned or denigrated as a result of that, but I'm here to tell you I'm thankful for representatives like this. John, tell us, you've heard the monologue. Tell us where we are in the Washington talk circles and what's being said in relationship to the shooting in Parkland, Florida.
Well, listen, Pastor, you know my background in law enforcement, 41 years, sheriff for 12 years. And I had an opportunity after the Sandy Hook shooting I was invited to go to and speak to a group about gun violence. And I told them, I said, look, I know I'm supposed to be here to talk about gun violence, but I can take this gun off of my hip, set it on this podium, and it will never, ever become violent. What we have in this country is a human violence problem. And it is a war of principalities. And that's the conversation I think that many of the progressives do not want to have. They don't want to talk about faith. They don't want to talk about values. They don't want to talk about a murderous heart in these individuals. They want to talk about guns. And you know, when you start talking about issues like securing our schools, look, the only thing that's going to secure our schools, now, we need background checks. We need better vetting than we have for voting right now. We should have the, I do agree with you. We vet our firearms, Second Amendment, much better than we do our voting rights, but they ought to both be vetted equally difficult so that, you know, we don't allow crimes by either one. Voting illegally is a crime as well.
Absolutely.
So I tell you, Pastor, this is a fight of principalities.
And, you got it. We wrestle not against...
I think until we recognize that, we're not going to make the right decisions because we're going to focus on the wrong things. But having said that, I will say, if you want to secure a school, there are security measures are always multi-layered. You can look at the physical plant itself and secure that through locks and bulletproof glass and, you know, buzzers to let people in and all of those things. But if a student can get in that school, somehow a bad guy can get in that school. So the only thing that is going to stop a mass shooting is someone at that facility with a gun. And
absolutely.
I prefer that be law enforcement, not a teacher. Now, the reason, and I've seen this, Pastor, all over the country, you know, they would like to have the police, but maybe they put in, private security or teachers with guns. You know, that's all about cost. And if cost is no factor for securing our children, which I believe is the right position to take, then we ought to have police officers in every school in this country, not just high schools, not just middle schools, but every school, elementary, pre-K. I mean, listen, we have got to secure these schools. Now, it's a question of cost, and it's a question of need. And so these are decisions that need to be made at the school district level, not from Washington, D.C. And each school district and the parents in that school district, they know what kind of security they want, and they know what kind of security they're willing to pay for and provide, and they need to be making those decisions, not somebody in Washington, D.C., or even Tallahassee.
Absolutely. Congressman, listen, I've got two or three statements to make, and then if we can, we've got a caller on the line to ask both of us a question or make a comment. But first of all, before we take that call, let me simply say what has happened, and you recognize this, John, that God has been banned from our schools. Prayer has been banned. Bible's been banned.
Right.
The culture of violence has simply taken over, where video games and Hollywood seem to rule in the hearts and the minds of these youngsters today. Parenting is really taking place. Most parents put that child on the, as I put it, the little yellow school bus and let him ride off and come back in. They tolerate that child a couple of hours in the afternoon, ride him off again the next day, and it's off their hands. Plus the fact with our governmental authorities today, it seems to be that parents' hands are tied when there's very little they can do to really, really do the parenting as they should. And one of the problems that I see, Congressman, is that we have a culture of violence, a culture of wickedness. For example, the Teen Vogue magazine columnist tells the news, in fact, in one of the Teen Vogue articles just yesterday, the columnist Lauren Dukka, D-U-C-A, responded to the news of Billy Graham's death, that he can have fun in hell, and then went on to call him some explicatives. That's the kind of culture that we live in today. What can we expect from our kids in the public school systems when we have that kind of culture that so denigrates society and so demoralizes society and absolutely is devoid of God? Where you find God is missing, you'll find guns will be preeminent in the hands of the wicked. We've got a caller. Go ahead, if you will, with your call for me or for the congressman, and let's see what we can say today.
Pastor and Congressman Rutherford, I'm so thankful to hear you both on the radio today. I'm very disappointed. It seems like if you step back in time, decades ago, guns were kind of prolific in the schools. We had gun, you know, safety classes and shooting classes and this and that, the other thing. We didn't have these issues. It does seem that as God has been kicked out and we've removed guns, when you remove the moral equation, chaos ensues. And now leftists are always coming up with new laws and new ideas as if we need more masters. However, they fail to support the enforcement of current laws. They want new immigration laws. However, they fail to support the enforcement of current immigration laws. They want new gun laws, gun safety laws, what do they say, reasonable or whatever, practical gun laws. You know, we had a single year where 80,000 people, right at 80,000 people, failed their background checks. A ton of those folks were felons trying to illegally acquire guns. They were committing felonies by trying to acquire a firearm. Out of the nearly 80,000 that failed those background checks, there were only 44 arrests and convictions. We're not taking this, and that was during the Obama era. We're not taking the current law seriously, and until they take current law seriously, I don't want to hear one thing about a new law that might, may intrude upon or encroach upon my and your Second Amendment rights. So, you know, I am so thankful for John Rutherford's service to the community as sheriff and as officer for all those years. I laud his great work, and I hope that he will take a similar stand for truth and justice and constitutional principles as he is in D.C. So I lay that out as a comment, as a question, however you want to take it. And I do appreciate both of your time today on the radio.
Thank you so much for calling in. Congressman, what do you say to that comment and statement? How would you like to respond to it?
Yeah, listen, I think it goes back to exactly what I said earlier. All of those issues that he talked about that are really causing this creating the culture of death that you talked about, death and violence, they don't want to have those conversations. And look, that's why I suspect in Romans, when Paul, you know, wrote Romans in 13:2, where it talks about, you know, the authority, they carry not the sword in vain. Look, that's law enforcement's position, because it was recognized that we are going to have evil in the world. Evil exists in the world, and you better be ready to fight it. You know, I had someone ask me one time, well, Sheriff, you know, what are you going to do personally to stop violence in our community? I said, yeah, really, the first thing I'm going to do is what I've done most of my adult life, and that is I'm going to carry a firearm concealed legally so that I can protect me, I can protect my family, and I can protect those around me who choose not to carry a concealed firearm. And so we have to recognize that there is evil in the world, and we better be ready for it. And so,
John,
go ahead, Pastor.
John, one of the things that I find erroneous is the fact that so many are saying we need to ban guns in some fashion, or we need to craft laws that in some way will control it, where my Constitution says that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. And any law that we pass that waters down the freedom of that Second Amendment right is infringing upon that Second Amendment right. And I find it fascinating. Here's an article, for example, Congressman, that I don't know if you've read. The title of the article says, Pastor and three others are stabbed to death in a church service in Texas.
Yeah.
Corpus Christi,
yeah.
Texas, four people were stabbed Wednesday during a church service at a Texas home, and a man is in custody, according to the police report. You see, are we going to ban knives? Are we going to ban knives? Do you have more deaths by automobile and drunken driving and under the influence of drugs? Are we going to ban steering wheels as a result of it?
No, but there are – look, I do agree that there are reasonable gun control laws that we support, like a background check. I have absolutely no problem with a background check. I think everybody should have a background check. But let me tell you this. When an individual walks into a school with an AR-15, a background check is not going to protect you.
That's right.
And a background check is not going to stop him from being able to get a gun. It may stop him from buying one from an FFL dealer, but it's not going to protect you. When you have a determined person who has evil intent in their heart with a gun, the only thing that's going to stop them is a good guy with a gun.
You got it.
And, you know, all of these other things, they can help, and I think we do need to look at it. Look, I agree, you know, bump stocks, for example. I think a bump stock should be regulated like a machine gun, because it causes a semi-automatic to function like a machine gun. Now, if you did internally to that gun what the bump stock does externally, it would be illegal. And that would be a full auto, and that would be against the law. But because it's external and you are pulling the trigger individually, even though you're using the recoil to do that, it functions as a full auto. And I'm not for banning them. Absolutely do not ban them.
That's right. Right.
All you have to do is regulate them with a Class 3 license, just like any other full auto gun. And look, when I was sheriff, I signed off on lots of those. Now, the difference is, you talk about severe vetting. You can imagine how closely I vetted those folks before I signed off on them.
Absolutely.
But that's reasonable control. Also, to look at the round capacity of some magazines, there might be some issues there that we can talk about what's more reasonable. Also, the age, maybe long rifles that are semi-automatic, we do go to 21, but we keep shotguns at 18, you know, because handguns are at 21 now. So I think there are some reasonable things that we can do to make it tougher for the bad guy to, on a whim, go and get a gun and kill a bunch of people. But yes. Most of these that I've seen are not on a whim. They are well planned out. They are determined. And if they are determined, the only thing that's going to stop them is someone at the scene with a gun. And that's why I think we need police officers in our schools.
Absolutely. Well, I find it fascinating that just yesterday the Broward County sheriff issued an edict, if you will, that says, and I quote, schools are soft targets and they are to be fortified. The Broward County Sheriff's Office sheriff said, Scott Israel said yesterday, he said, my deputies will carry rifles on the ground to local schools in Brevard County in the wake of the Parkland school shooting. He made a wise choice,
listen,
I think.
Listen to this, Pastor. Talk about ironic. January 30th of this year, I dropped a bill, which means I introduced a bill in the House, H.R. 4909, and it's the Stop School Violence Act of 2018, exactly 2 weeks before this occurred. And the intent of the bill is to, number one, teach people the warning signs to look for. Secondly, to create an anonymous tip line so folks can get that information to law enforcement, and then also provide money for the instruction and we call it CEPTED here in town, crime prevention through environmental design. How do you protect somebody inside a school by environmental design? You know, that's locks and lights and cameras and buzzers and
those
kinds of things. And it makes $50 million available for 5 years for schools to do that all across America. And it's a 75% match. Oddly enough, when I reached out to a Democrat to co-sponsor with and introduce the bill, it was Ted Deutch of all things. Can you imagine? Mm.
Yeah,
and that's his district where Stoneman Douglas.
Where this took place. Yes.
Located. Yeah. So
I find it fascinating. There's a screaming like your hair's on fire when we talk about real security at our schools and churches. In fact, I'm not ashamed to tell anybody, I believe churches should have a locked door campus. I believe churches should have ushers and deacons and others that are trained, that have a concealed carry permit, that's able to protect the church services, as well as armed security if they can afford to have armed security come in from law enforcement.
Hey. But, hey, Pastor, you'll love this. When my wife and I first got married and I joined the force, I put my gun on to go to church, and she's like, that's sacrilegious. And I'm like, no, bad things happen in churches too. I said, I'm a police officer now. If something bad goes wrong, I'm going to try to stop it. So do you want me to have a gun and try to stop it, or do you want me to try to stop a shooter with no gun? And,
absolutely.
She gave in on that argument.
Well, I find that it's a culture today where there's the mindset that we're a gun-free zone, supposed to be the real thing to say from the snowflake group in America today. But I believe that churches should not be sitting ducks, should not be a gun-free zone, and I believe the same for schools. And if schools have, as you said, with the design built in so there's security by way of cameras, by way of security guards, by way of the bulletproof glass, and all of the above, but I believe there must be something that secures our schools. I was thankful to see, by the way. You may be.
Now let me make this point, though, Pastor. Look, Jaguar Stadium is a gun-free stadium, and we make sure that people that are going in there do not have guns. So, if we can do 83,000 people in that stadium and make that a gun-free zone, it's gun-free for those who are attending.
Yes.
But how many police officers do we put in there to make sure that it's safe? Hundreds.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Absolutely.
So again, it gets down to the question of, are you willing to pay the price that this doesn't happen again? And that price is going to be one or two police officers at every school. Now, in every community, that's why I say every community has to make these decisions on their own. It's not for Washington, D.C. to decide. It's for the school districts, local police, and parents to decide what the security is going to look like at their school.
To decide what level of security we want for our students. By the way, Congressman, I find it fascinating, two or three things as our time is rapidly dissipating. House Bill 839 here in the state of Florida, which just passed overwhelmingly in Tallahassee yesterday, I find it fascinating that in that bill it requires In God We Trust to be prominently displayed in all public schools in the state of Florida now. And as the one that was sponsoring that said, made the statement, she mentioned that video games, as an example, saying children are being trained to become virtual assassins. Things might be getting bad, Daniel said, but the people will come to realize the problems are much larger than politics. We cannot put God in a closet. We cannot put God in a closet when we face bigger things that ought to be handled. And she urged the colleagues to vote for it, and they did so. And I believe it was some 91 or 97 votes for it, and it passed overwhelmingly. So there's a need to put God back in the classroom. In fact, the states of Kentucky, Alabama, and Arizona, as you may well know, those three states have reintroduced and passed by legislation that the Bible can once again be taught in public schools. And so I believe it's time that we turn back to God. But there are a number of the, I call it the snowflake representatives in Washington and some of the others, as Nancy Pelosi, when it comes to an immigration issue, Nancy Pelosi said, and perhaps you heard that, Nancy Pelosi said that we need to cut the grass on the borders so we could see them as they're coming in.
I heard that. I don't even know what to say to that.
Well, there's not much you can say to that. Right. I believe that if we start having a check on the basis of mental acuity as to whether or not they can carry a gun, she would be eliminated immediately. But nevertheless, let's just take a few moments, John, if you would. I know that this year you will be in the throes of re-election. Tell our people what they can do. I pray that they'll listen carefully and how they can assist in any way. And I know it's not the very, very apex of the election season, but it's headed into that. And I'd love to see folks take a stand and put people back in office as we have in you, as you represent us in Washington. Just take a few moments and speak to that issue before we close our broadcast today.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Listen, you know, anytime you're trying to get a message out in a political campaign, that takes funds. So, you know, people can go to votejohnrutherford.com and contribute in that way. But more importantly is getting out the word. You know, stay in touch with my office, stay in touch with our campaign when it kicks off here shortly. And, you know, spread the word that we need pragmatic, God-fearing people in Washington, D.C. And,
amen.
That's why I'm there. You know, I was ready to just retire and enjoy my life. But when I saw the things going on in the world that were going on, I told my wife, I've got to get back in this fight, this fight between good and evil.
Amen.
It's not flesh and blood, it's principalities.
That's the key to it. Well, John, I appreciate you taking time to join with us on Let's Face the Issues today. We'll be praying for you, for your ministry in Washington, and that God would bless and give wisdom as you strive to carry out the task that God's called you to do in protecting our nation. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. God bless you, and we look forward to meeting you again on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.